This is Audible.
Silverton Audio presents the unabridged recording of Against My Lips, Big Beautiful Women, Motorcycle Club Romance, Aces Wild, Motorcycle Book 1. Written by Roxy Cooper. Performed by Rita Rush. Keep listening after the credits for an excerpt from the book, Reckless, Book 1, 50 Shades of Romance. Against My Lips, Big Beautiful Women, Motorcycle Club Romance, Chapter 1. Just 2 weeks after my 18th birthday, I was sitting in a truck stop restaurant hundreds of miles from home, trying to figure out what my next step should be. I didn't know a single soul here near the Louisiana-Texas border, and that was fine with me. I had saved $1,000 from my cashier job at Walmart over the past few months just to prepare for this journey, but I knew that wasn't going to last forever. I had taken the bus this far, but if I kept going, I wouldn't have any money for food or emergencies. There'd be no one to call for help if I got in trouble, so I needed to be smart. The rest stop was filled with the smell of greasy breakfast food and stale smoke. Everyone looked like they hadn't slept in days, and there wasn't much talking going on. Any other girl my age probably would have been afraid, but after what I endured at home, this place might as well have been a carnival. I picked at the eggs and bacon on my plate, but I didn't have much of an appetite. That was completely unlike me, and I had the wide hips, big breasts, and full thighs to prove it. My new plan was to try to find a decent trucker who was headed in my direction that would let me ride with him for a little cash. I planned to stand just a little way down this dusty road and stick out my thumb, hoping for the best. I scanned the room for anyone who looked like they wouldn't murder me, and I settled on a guy wearing a baseball cap with kind brown eyes. He looked like he was probably in his early 40s, and he was clean. He was also smiling as he looked at something on his phone. I decided I would head out as soon as he looked like he was leaving. He headed to the bathroom about 5 minutes later, and I hung back to watch which truck he climbed into. Then I quickly headed down the road a ways to wait for him. I heard the loud rumble of his truck's engine, and I said a silent prayer to whoever was listening to please make him be the one to help me. Chapter 2. I needed a way out of the hell I had been living in. My stepfather, Steve, saved all of his pent-up anger toward my mother and took it out on me. Ever since she left me with him, he drank himself into oblivion every night and found the smallest excuse to leave bruises on my plus-size body. He preyed on the fact that I was not your average skinny girl. To the community, he was an upstanding citizen. He was a police officer who helped people in trouble and took the bad guys off the streets. No one knew that he was a bad guy, the worst kind of man. My mother had been my best friend. I had a great childhood, just the two of us after my dad died in a car accident. We never had much, but it didn't matter to me. She worked hard as a medical secretary at Dr. Chase's office, and she always made sure I had everything I needed. She taught me to love myself no matter what size I was. Everything changed when she started dating Steve. At first, he seemed like the perfect man. He would take us both out to dinner and bowling. He bought me nice presents for my birthday and never acted like I was in the way. What could be better than having a big, strong police officer around to protect us and take care of us? After just 6 months, my mom decided to marry him and moved us into his house. I got my own big bedroom and decorated it pink and purple. I was 14 years old, and I believed we finally found a happy place. We were the perfect new family from the outside. One night, I was awakened by the sound of my mother crying downstairs. I crept quietly down and could see my mother curled in a ball against the wall, hiding her face. Steve was standing over her, and I waited for him to crouch down and comfort her like a sweet husband should. Instead, I watched in horror as he pulled back his foot and kicked her as hard as he could in the side. She screamed out in pain, and I started to cry. When he walked away, telling her she was a piece of shit whore. Her eyes met mine. I had never seen her look as ashamed as she did when she saw me. She motioned for me to go upstairs, so I ran to my bedroom and cried under my covers. I tried to talk to her about it when Steve was at work, but she brushed it off, blaming herself. She said she wasn't trying hard enough to be a good wife to thank him for what he was doing for us. I let it go, but that wasn't the last time I saw it happen. He would be loving and sweet to her in public, ever the perfect husband and father to me, but at least once a week his temper would flare, and my mother would get the brunt of his anger. I always managed to stay out of it until the day after I turned 16. I woke to find a note on my pillow from my mother. It said she had to go to California to start a new life for us, and she would be back soon. She couldn't take the abuse anymore, and she said that she knew Steve would never hurt me. I never got a chance to tell her how wrong she was about that. As soon as he figured out she was gone, he came to me looking for answers. I protected my mom and didn't tell him what I knew, so he slapped me hard across the face. The next day he apologized and brought home gifts for me, but I didn't want them. I just waited for her to come back for me, and then I would be free. I waited and waited, but she never came back. I came to realize that by saving herself, she had sacrificed me. Chapter 3. I swallowed my pride and stuck my thumb out. The sun was beating down on me, and I was sweating through my black t-shirt. I could feel a drop of sweat run down between my full breasts, and it was one of the times that I cursed being so well endowed. He was approaching slowly as his truck gathered momentum, and I hoped he would see me. I tried to look indifferent as he got close, and I locked eyes with him from my position on the side of the road. Then I watched the truck roar right past me down the road. I hung my head with disappointment. I thought for sure he was a nice guy and would stop. Maybe he didn't stop because he was a good guy. Either way, it seemed I was out of luck. I started walking down the road with nothing but my small backpack, pushing my cheap sunglasses up my nose. About 5 minutes later, I heard another truck approaching. When I turned around, it damn sure looked like the one that had just passed me by. This time it slowed down when it got close and pulled over just a little way past me. The driver opened the door and I climbed in. "What is a young lady like you doing on the side of the road? I came back because I couldn't bear the thought of you getting in with one of those other guys. Plus, you kind of remind me a little bit of my own daughter. My name is Brooke Bailey. I need to go to California to ask my mother some questions. She can't seem to answer her phone. I can give you a little bit of money in exchange for the ride. Where are you headed?" "My name is Jim Stone. I don't need your money, Brooke. I'm headed to Burbank, California. I can take you as far as you need to go. I'm not into any funny business, so hope you're not trying to sell me anything. All I want is a ride. I promise not to bother you." "All right, then. California, here we come." He threw my backpack into the rear of the cab where his bed was as I climbed up inside. It was a newer truck, so it was comfortable. I was surprised to see how clean he kept it, and I felt like my instincts were right about him. "You ready, Brooke Bailey?" "I'm more than ready. Just get me the hell out of here." He pulled out onto the road around 10 a.m., and we drove straight through until 10 p.m., only stopping once for a quick bathroom break. We had driven all the way through Texas, and we were in some small town in Nevada. Jim pulled into a stop near a motel, and we got out. "I'm gonna get you a room for tonight, and I'll sleep in the truck. You look like you could use some good sleep." I tried to protest, but he wouldn't listen. He headed into the office to speak to the clerk. He came out a few minutes later with a room key for me. "I'm headed over to Jack's place for some food and a couple of beers. It looks rough, but my good friend Sally works the bar and the grill. No one will bother you. Do you want to go?" "Yeah, just let me freshen up quick." I went into the small room that wasn't anything special, but the idea of a bed after so long was heavenly. I went to the bathroom quickly and headed back outside. I brought my backpack with me because I didn't like the idea of leaving it anywhere. It was all I had left to my name. Jack's place was right across the street from the motel, so it took us all of 30 seconds to get there. The windows were covered in neon beer signs, and the sign was dirty and broken in a couple of places. When we stepped inside, there was a bar to the right with about 5 guys sitting at it. On the left was a line of booths, and straight ahead there was a tiny dance floor and a jukebox. Jim headed for one of the booths, and I followed him. There was a small menu there featuring burgers and sandwiches. "Order whatever you want. This one's on me. Sally gives me a discount anyway." "Well, I'll be damned. Is that you, Jim Stone? Haven't seen you around here in a while." A woman with large breasts, bleach blonde hair, and a warm smile approached the table with a pen and pad in her hand. "Sally, darling, how are you? You're looking as beautiful as ever." "Flattery will get you everywhere. Who is this pretty lady?" "She looks like a girl after my own heart." "This is Brooke. I'm giving her a ride to California to see her mother." "Hello, ma'am." I smiled up at her and she returned it. "We barely ever see pretty young ladies in here. I'm usually the only broad around. Why don't I bring you each one of my specials?" "Sounds good." Jim was talking to Sally, but I suddenly couldn't focus on their conversation. Something, or should I say someone, had stopped all rational thought. Chapter 4. Sitting at the end of the bar, facing in my direction, was the most handsome man I had ever laid eyes on. His grayish-blue eyes were filled with anger and a hint of sadness, and my heart went out to him. I knew it was the same look that I offered the world. His hair was the color of a raven, dark as the night, and it was cut short. It looked like he hadn't shaved in a few days, but the 5 o'clock shadow just made him that much more beautiful. I guessed he was older than me, around 25 years old, but I could have been wrong. All I knew was that he had made my world come to a complete stop.
"Are you okay, Brooke?"
Jim's voice snapped me out of it, and I was embarrassed. I felt my cheeks catch on fire as I tried to cover up what I had been doing. It was too late. Jim took a look over his shoulder and saw what had me breathless.
"Brooke, that's one man you can look at, but should never go near. He has more baggage than you might think. That's Jesse Dalton, and he's surrounded by ghosts."
I snuck another glance his way and found him still nursing the same beer. "He can't be that bad. We all have a past. He looks sad. Now, I know I barely know you, but please listen to me. Jesse is not anyone you want to go giving your heart to. I don't think he'd take it anyway. Just forget you ever saw him over there." Our food came shortly after that. We each got a tuna melt and fries, which tasted delicious. I sat there stealing glances. Jim kept shaking his head.
"Listen, Brooke. Jesse is in a motorcycle club. The Aces Wild Motorcycle Club. A few months back, the rest of his club was killed in a standoff with the feds. He was the last man standing. Now everyone thinks that he routed them out. He's not some nice guy with a broken heart. He is dangerous, and you need to stay far away."
"Wow, but I still think everyone has their reasons for doing what they do."
"Yeah, well, his reasons are not honorable. He wants to be alone. You should let him be."
I couldn't stop staring at him. His leather jacket was worn from plenty of wear and long rides on his motorcycle. There was a flaming patch on one arm, and all I could do was sit there and wonder what he looked like underneath it. He was tugging at my heart, and he had no idea I was even in the room. Maybe there was something I could do to change that. After dinner and a couple of beers, Jim was ready for some sleep. He told me it was time to go, but I hesitated. "I think I'm going to hang out for a while. I want to listen to the music and have some dessert."
"I don't think that's a good idea. I know what's going on in your head, but you need to forget it. For God's sake, let's go back across the street and get some sleep so we can get out on the road nice and early."
"Jim, I appreciate it, but really, I'm just going to hang out for a bit. I'll be ready to leave first thing in the morning."
"All right, but don't say I didn't warn you, honey."
He tipped his hat to Sally and headed off in the direction of his truck. I made my way over to the bar and sat 2 stools away from Jesse. He
He never even looked my way. This was not the type of establishment that asked for your ID, so I ordered the Bud Light, hoping they wouldn't card me. I took a couple of swigs like a pro. This wasn't my first time in a bar. I tried to push my large breasts up so that they were the center of attention, but that made no difference. I sat there for another hour and drank three more beers without a word or a glance from Jesse. Feeling annoyed and a little buzzed, I got up and went into the bathroom. I let my long auburn hair down so that it cascaded in waves down past the middle of my back. I put some lip gloss on and pulled my t-shirt a little lower, exposing more cleavage than I should have. I surveyed my full hips and round ass in the mirror. I was what most people considered full-figured, but I did not let that stop me. I wouldn't have minded being skinny like my mother, but it wasn't in the cards for me. I learned to work with what God gave me. I was going to make Jesse Dalton take notice. I decided waiting for him outside the bar might work better. Then I might be able to catch him alone. I wandered out front and stood there trying not to look too obvious. I didn't have to wait long. He walked out and saw me standing there alone, and a look of concern quickly crossed his face. "Where'd your dad go?" "He's not my dad. He's just a trucker that gave me a ride here." "Well, how are you going to get where you need to go, then?" "You're going to take me, Jesse." "What the fuck are you talking about? I ride alone, and I don't need any company." "We understand each other. I can see the pain in your eyes. I can feel it because I feel a very similar ache. I can make it better for a while." He took a good long look at my face, and I knew he could see the barely faded bruise on my left cheek. My hand automatically went to cover it, so used to hiding the truth from the world. "You know nothing about me. There is no way you've been through what I have. You are just a little girl who is probably running away because her daddy wouldn't buy her a new car. You should just go back home and make nice with your family. I don't need any more baggage than I already have." It pissed me off that he seemed to be laughing me off like I was some spoiled little rich bitch looking to have a wild time and get back at my father. Little did he know that if I had a family like that, I never would have left. "That's so far from the truth. You have no clue. My name is Brooke, and I don't have a rich daddy. No one is going to come looking for me because no one gives a shit that I'm gone. I will give you anything you want if you'll let me ride along with you. I'll be your companion. I won't be any trouble." I placed my hands on his chest when I said this, and the look in his eyes turned hungry. I licked my lips in response and could feel the heat between us. My heart was beating so fast as his hot breath touched my face. Every part of him was hard, maybe even his heart, and I wanted it for myself. He took my hand and started leading me around to the back of the building. All at once, my back was against the wall, and his tongue was in my mouth. His body pressed hard into mine. His hand went up my shirt and ripped one of my bra cups down so that he could pinch my nipple. I was young, but no virgin, and I could take what he gave. Jesse pulled my t-shirt up and sucked one of my pebbled nipples into his mouth. For a split second, I worried about him seeing my not-so-flat stomach, but it passed quickly when he didn't hesitate. His tongue swirled around the peak while his other hand roughly palmed my breast. His hands were huge, but my breasts were bigger. I arched my back in response to his roughness. I didn't expect someone like him to be gentle. If this was what I had to do to be with him, then I was all for it. His pelvis slammed against me, and I could feel how hard he was through the material between us. For a second, I worried that I would not be able to accommodate him. Any man with a cock the size of half my bicep might be a little much, but I had to take the chance. With a quick flick of his fingers, my jeans were unbuttoned. He shoved his hand down inside my lace panties and started rubbing my swollen clit. I knew I was wet, and now he did too. He moved his hand down further into my panties and slid two fingers inside me fast while he continued to work my clit with his thumb. He was playing me, and I was so very willing. Men like Jesse usually only existed in dark fantasies and late-night cable shows, but he was here. I could run my fingers up and down his perfectly sculpted stomach. I could feel his lips and teeth as they licked and bit my neck and earlobes. He was working me into a frenzy that I didn't ever want to come back from. He pulled his hand out of my pants, and I immediately felt the loss of contact. I was already so close, and I think he knew that. He had a wicked smile on his face. I knew he was enjoying teasing me. Jesse Dalton obviously liked to be in control. I was too far gone to stop him. He made short work of my pants and ripped my lacy boy shorts off, leaving me naked from the waist down right in the open. My bra was still ripped down, and my double D breasts were in full view. Brooke, is that your name? Fuck, your body is amazing. Plenty of places for me to hold on to. I didn't care if someone came around the corner. Let them see. All I wanted was to have him inside me. He stood there for a minute, admiring my body. I swear I saw a flicker of something sweet in his eyes, but it was quickly covered by pure lust and need. He still stood about a foot away from me when he reached down and undid his leather belt. Then he popped open the button and pulled down the zipper of his jeans. I was visibly trembling, waiting to see what he had in store for me, and he was enjoying it. Finally, he reached into his boxers and pulled out the biggest, most beautiful cock I had ever seen. It was impressive, at least 9 inches, and thick as hell. He stroked it a couple of times as I watched it greedily, licking my lips again. Any trace of fear I had before was gone. Now I just wanted him to give it to me. Jesse stepped closer and lifted me up with my back still against the wall. That little nagging voice in the back of my head worried again about being too heavy for him, but I pushed it aside. I instinctively wrapped my legs around him. With one hand under my ass to support me, he put the fingers to my lips that had just been inside me. I opened to him, and when he put them in my mouth, I tasted myself. This pushed him over the edge. With one quick thrust, his huge member was buried to the hilt inside me. It was bigger than anything I had ever felt, and the pain only lasted a second. I cried out with pleasure and saw the surprise in his eyes. He must have thought I would be afraid. This was meant to scare me away, but all I wanted was more. Is this all you've got, Jesse? Give me more. I need more. I'm so wet for you. He growled and moved his hips so that he could pull out and plunge back into me hard. My hands were wrapped tightly around his shoulders, and I caught his lower lip between my teeth when he kissed me. I was meeting his every thrust, and I could already feel myself losing control. He rolled his hips at just the right angle to hit spots inside of me that were unknown until now. I was crying out, and I hoped no one heard me. The thought crossed my mind that I probably wasn't the first girl Jesse fucked against this wall. I quickly pushed that to the back of my mind. If this was the only time I got him, I needed to enjoy every second. You had no idea what you were in for, did you, Brooke? You thought I might bring you back here and kiss you sweet and soft and tell you you're pretty? Huh? But all I wanted was to fuck you, and look how much you love it. Yes, I love it. I don't need you to be sweet. I need you to fuck me. His breath was coming hard and ragged now, and I knew he was getting there. I probably should have thought about a condom, but I wanted him to know I wasn't scared. I was on the pill anyway. We were going at a hard and steady pace when I cried out in pleasure, squeezing him between my legs. A knowing smile crossed his lips as I came. He was probably just laughing about adding another number to his book. Not long after that, he pinned my ass to the wall as he shot several streams of hot cum into me. He growled from deep inside and sucked hard on my neck, crashing into his release while trying to keep some form of control. When he was done, he set me on my feet and backed away quickly, buttoning and zipping himself back into his jeans. My legs were shaking so bad, but I didn't want him to know. I picked up my jeans and slid them on. pretending not to notice my ruined panties nearby.
I guess you can come with me. But this isn't a relationship. I will still do what I want, and you won't ask a lot of questions.
You think you know me, but you don't.
I have to settle some business in New Mexico first. So if you can't deal with that, I suggest you find your other ride and forget me.
My bike is out front.
Lead the way.
Chapter 5. I threw my backpack over my shoulder and waited for him to climb onto a sleek black Harley with flames painted on both sides. If he looked hot before, this brought his hotness to a whole new level. I got close and threw my leg over so that I was straddling the bike. I moved close to him and, despite feeling him tense up, wrapped my arms around his stomach. I tried very hard to steady my trembling hands so he wouldn't know how much what we had just done affected me. The bike started with a roar, and we quickly left Jack's place behind. I knew Jim would be worried, but this was something I had to do. We were only on the bike for about 10 minutes when Jesse pulled into a parking spot in front of another cheap motel. He turned the bike off and got up, giving me his hand to help me off. He grabbed a key out of his pocket and unlocked the door. The room consisted of a queen-size bed, a table and two chairs, a dresser, and a television. There was a small bathroom with a shower stall, toilet, and sink. A half-empty bottle of Jack Daniel's sat on the table with a few empty beer cans. The room smelled of old feelings and regret. Jesse shut the door behind me and threw his jacket over one of the chairs. He was wearing a tight black t-shirt, but he pulled that off too. For some reason, I felt shy seeing him like this, even though he had been inside me just 15 minutes earlier. Seeing him exposed was a whole different feeling. He had tattoos all over his torso. There were skulls on both of his biceps, and his forearms had flames and what I guessed were tattoos that symbolized the Aces Wild Motorcycle Club. His back had the words, "Never Surrender," in huge letters and a single rose beneath them. Jesse Dalton was by far the most beautiful man I had ever seen. I needed to know him, and I had to figure out a way to get to him to open up. I knew he would understand me better than anyone else could. "Now that you've had a good look, you can stop staring. Use the bathroom to get ready for bed if you want. Don't worry about your stuff because I won't take it. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a thief." I dropped my backpack on one of the chairs to prove that I trusted him and headed into the bathroom. I took one of the washcloths and washed away the mess from the fast fuck outside the bar. I felt a little ashamed for letting him do that to me, but I also felt more alive than I had in years. We fit perfectly together, and I could tell by the way he moved inside of me that he felt it too. When I headed back into the room, Jesse was on the bed in only a pair of tight black boxer briefs. I could see the outline of the monster that was sleeping at that moment, and I felt hungry for him again. "You can sleep in the bed with me under one condition. You have to be completely naked. Otherwise, I'll give you a pillow for the floor." "I'm not afraid of you, Jesse, and I'm not a little girl." I stood right where he could have a good view and stripped off my t-shirt. I tried to appear confident on the outside, but I was shaking with fear on the inside. My round belly was in full view. Then I unhooked my black lace bra and threw it to the side, exposing my larger-than-average breasts that didn't quite sit perfectly on my chest. My jeans were quickly off, and I was naked in front of him. I wanted to cover myself up and hide my full thighs and bottom, but then I saw him try to hide his growing erection while quickly adjusting himself. He didn't want me to see the effect I had on him, but I could already see he liked me the way I was. He nodded toward the bed, and I got in next to him, but under the covers. He got up and checked that he had locked the door and looked out the window, like he was expecting someone to be there. Then he turned off the light and got under the covers with me. I rolled toward him, expecting there to be more of what he gave me earlier. I knew he was hard again. When I put my hand on his stomach, he quickly moved it away. His face was lit up by the TV, and he looked pissed that I had tried to make a move on him.
He didn't speak, but rolled over and went to sleep. I was hurt, but too exhausted to get into it with him, so I fell asleep quickly. I was used to rejection. I was awakened sometime during the night to the sound of horrible screaming. The clock next to the bed said 3:05 a.m., and Jesse was thrashing around. He was crying out like a frightened child. "Please don't! Don't fucking hurt them! Mac! Axel! Rob! Fuck! I didn't mean it!" His face was covered in tears, and he was reaching for someone that wasn't there. He looked so lost, and it was breaking my heart. I reached for him instinctively, and in the darkness, he backhanded me across my face. I was too shocked to say anything, and I pulled far away from him, retreating like I used to when my stepfather came after me. Better to hide than to stay and take more of a beating. Jesse flew out of the bed, and I could hear him vomiting in the bathroom. I wanted to go to him, but I was frozen in my spot on the bed, naked and bruised. He came out shortly after that and grabbed a pillow off the bed. I'm sleeping on the floor the rest of the night. "You don't have to, Jesse. Just go back to sleep." The tone of his voice was a mix of anger and shame, so I knew it was best not to argue. I lay there awake for a while, listening to him breathe. He sniffled a few times, and I knew he must be lying there haunted by the image that had just come to him. Was his dream about the night all of his friends died? How bad was he hurting inside? I wanted to get down on the floor and hold him. I wanted to tell him it would be okay. I eventually fell asleep with my head full of questions. I woke up around 8 o'clock, with the blankets only covering my lower half. Jesse was still asleep on the floor, so I took a few seconds to admire him. Damn, he was beautiful. He actually had a peaceful look on his face, and it made him look years younger. The muscles in his chest and stomach rose and fell with each breath, and I wanted to kiss every inch of them. I could also see that someone was up before him, and it took every ounce of willpower I had not to get down there and pull it out. Even soft, his cock filled out an impressive portion of his boxers. I could easily see the vein pulsing on the top of it, and it jerked a bit in his sleep. I wanted to taste him. I knew I could give him plenty of pleasure and ease his tension with my lips and tongue, but I also knew it was a bad idea. What if he woke up violently from another nightmare and hurt me even worse? I didn't need a matching bruise on the other cheek. I got up and grabbed my backpack, taking it into the bathroom with me. I brushed my teeth and took a shower, using the shampoo and conditioner to get the knots out of my hair. I used my dull razor to shave my legs and armpits. After drying off, I slipped into the only other pair of undies I had with me. Then I put on my jeans and a royal blue tank top, combed my wet hair, and applied some mascara and lip gloss. My cheek was already turning a dark purple color, but I didn't have any cover-up with me. Knowing there was nothing I could do to hide it but try to cover it with my hair, I went back into the bedroom. Jesse was awake and already dressed. Without a word, he brushed past me like I wasn't even there and went into the bathroom. I packed my backpack and waited on the end of the bed. 5 minutes later, we were out the door. He returned the key to the office, and we got on the bike. I wrapped myself around him and got ready for the long ride. I knew I should be afraid after he hit me, but I wasn't. It probably had something to do with being used to getting slapped. Plus, Jesse didn't make me feel like Steve did. Not even for a second. Jesse headed south from Nevada into New Mexico. I could feel the sun beating down on my bare shoulders, and I wished I was covered. The air was so dry that I felt like there wasn't enough water in the world to make me feel better. Plus, I hadn't had anything to eat or drink since the night before, and I was feeling lightheaded. We pulled up to a stoplight, and I thought my nose was running. I reached up to wipe it away discreetly, and my hand was suddenly covered in blood. "Oh, God! What's wrong?" Jesse turned around to see why I had spoken and saw the blood. "Shit! What happened?" Chapter 6. When the light turned green, he got us to the nearest gas station and pulled me into the bathroom with him.
He was a flurry of activity, wetting paper towels and wiping my face. Then he told me to tip my head back to stop the blood flow. I felt like an idiot, but it was also kind of nice to be taken care of. No one had given a shit about me since before my mother left. I used to think she cared before she left me in hell, all alone. When I felt like the bleeding had stopped, I moved the paper towel away from my face, and Jesse took a good look at me. The look on his face quickly changed from concern to horror. Tears filled his pale blue eyes. "I'm sorry about your bad dream last night, Jesse. I wanted to help you, but I didn't know how, especially when you got sick."
"Brooke, oh shit, look at your face. I did that to you, didn't I? Oh my God, I swear I didn't mean it. Please believe me, I am not that kind of man. I wasn't sick from the dream. I was sick because I did this to you."
His hand was gentle as he stroked my bruised cheek. Then he leaned in and placed a light kiss on it. He no longer looked annoyed to be in my presence. I no longer felt alone. When his mouth was still close, I turned my head and kissed him. When he responded by kissing me back, I let all the feelings from the past 2 years pour out of me. Our tongues danced together, and he placed a hand on each side of my face, treating me like I was fragile, like I meant something. I eased his jacket off his shoulders and pulled at the hem of his t-shirt. I needed to have him again. I needed to reaffirm our connection and make him see that we would be something together. He was not pulling away this time. I could feel him letting his guard down with each passing second. He undid the button on my jeans and eased them over my full hips. Then he pulled my blue thong down, careful not to rip this pair. When I was bare, he lifted me up onto the sink and lowered his knees onto his jacket on the floor. His hot breath hit me first, and I moaned a little just from his nearness. He rubbed his hands up and down my inner thighs, and then he flattened his tongue and pressed it against my swollen clit. He gave it a nice, long lick before moving his tongue in slow circles around it. The boys I had sex with before had tried, but they were never very good at this. They would lick sloppily for a few seconds and think it was amazing, leaving me disgusted and wishing it was over. Jesse was a man with experience, and I could feel it in every touch. He knew just how to caress and taste me. As his tongue worked my clit, he slowly slid one of his long fingers inside of me, hooking it upward to touch me in a place no other man had ever found. I was grinding against him and crying out, forgetting that we were in public and people could probably hear me. "Jesse, please, don't stop. I have never felt like this. Oh my God, fuck, I'm gonna come." I unraveled as he held me up, drinking every drop of the sweet juices that flowed from my body. I was still shaking with need when he freed himself from the confines of his jeans. "You taste so good, Brooke." To prove his point, he kissed me, and I could taste myself on his lips and tongue. It awakened more need inside of me. I reached between us and wrapped my small hand around his massive erection. I rubbed up and down, feeling his entire length and appreciating what he had to offer. I pushed him back away from me a little bit and climbed down from the sink. I got on my knees on his jacket, and I was up close and personal with his swollen cock. Gripping the base with my hand, I spit on the head and let it drip down. Then I leaned in and licked slow circles around his massive head. When I took the head into my mouth, he gasped and rested a hand on the back of my head. I started to take him into my mouth as far as he could go, letting him slide all the way to the back of my throat. I could only fit him about 3/4 of the way in, but I worked him with my throat while I continued to rub the base with my small hand. I used my other hand to cup and rub his balls. They were big and obviously full. Suddenly, he pulled me to my feet and turned me around so I was bent over the sink. He placed one hand on my hip and used the other to guide his thick cock to my wet opening. He pushed inside me slowly this time. There was no intent to scare me away. He was healing me, and I think part of him knew it. One of his hands was caressing my back, and he was looking at me in the mirror instead of hiding his face. I could see my big breasts bouncing each time he pushed back into me. He looked into my eyes in the mirror, searching for something, and I looked back. I could see that he recognized himself in my eyes as he made his version of love to me in a gas station bathroom. He could feel my pain, and he was matching it with his own, with each thrust against me. I held onto the sink as tightly as I could, refusing to break this moment, wanting him to last forever. Maybe it was just weakness from knowing he hurt me, but I didn't care. If he left me right now, this moment would sustain me for weeks to come, knowing just for this moment that someone understood. Every time his thick cock pressed into my soaking wet pussy, I could feel something building inside me. It was like he was made for me, and I never knew it could feel this good. I pushed back greedily, trying to find pleasure and to ease the pain that was consuming him. "Brooke, you feel so tight this way. I've never felt anything as good as you. Your ass looks perfect right now." He gave it a small smack, and I looked down so he wouldn't see me wince a little bit at the violent contact during this intimate moment. I knew it was coming to an end when he started to push harder and his grip on my hips tightened. When he spilled into me, I came too, my walls squeezing him as we fell together. We stood there in silence for a couple more minutes, catching our breath. I could sense that he didn't want to break our contact either. Someone started pounding on the door, and we had to come back down. "Jesse, I..." "Don't say it. Let's just let it be for now. I really am sorry I hit you. You're too beautiful to be marked like that. You deserve to be protected." For the first time, he acknowledged me as more than an imposter on his mission. We dressed quickly and quietly, and when we went to leave the bathroom, I grabbed his hand. He looked at me with eyes full of questions, but he didn't pull away. The guy waiting outside the bathroom gave us a knowing look, but it didn't bother me. I didn't think anything could get me down after what had just happened. Chapter 7. "What the fuck?" I snapped out of it quickly as Jesse pulled his hand away and went running toward his beloved bike. It was not how we had left it. The bike had obviously been hit with a heavy object, and the metal was mangled. The leather on the seats was cut open, and all of the lights had been smashed. The tires had each been slashed. There was no way it could be driven. Jesse was screaming every expletive that existed, and when I got a closer look, I saw why. The chrome had been carved, most likely with the same tool that had slashed the tires, and the word "snitch" was in plain view. It appeared his past had followed us on our ride into New Mexico, and whoever it was believed that Jesse had been the one to bring his brothers down. My adrenaline was pumping as I looked to Jesse to see what to do next. He was wild with fury, and when he stepped toward me, I flinched and backed away. He immediately stopped screaming, and a look of guilt came over him. "I wasn't going to hit you, Brooke. That will never happen again, and I'll kill any man who even thinks about it. It's obvious that it's happened to you before." He took a minute to take my hand back in his to reassure me. "But I'm so fucking pissed right now. Who the fuck did this to my bike? Everyone thinks they know what went down that night, but no one has a fucking clue. I will never clear my name or get my brothers back. My life is totally fucked. I warned you to run far away. Fuck!" Jesse sat on the curb at the gas station and pulled me down with him. I got as close as I could and wrapped my arms around him under his leather jacket. I knew how he felt. I knew all about running from a past that had broken you so badly you felt like you would never be whole again. I also knew how it felt to feel like you would never be truly loved, because you were not perfect. "It will be okay. I understand. I'm here. That's just the problem. I needed you to not be here. I needed to do this alone." "But I want to be here. Let me be with you." "You won't be saying that when you see why I'm in New Mexico. But now, it's more than just my life at stake. Better get ready for more than you bargained for, Brooke." I was ready for anything. Or at least I thought I was. Keep listening after the credits for an excerpt from the book, Reckless, Book 1,
50 Shades of Romance. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Against My Lips, Big Beautiful Women Motorcycle Club Romance, Aces Wild Motorcycle Book 1. Written by Roxy Cooper. Performed by Rita Rush. Text copyright 2014 and beyond by Roxy Cooper. Performance and production copyright 2015 by Silverton Audio. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying, recording, or other electronic or mechanical methods without the prior written permission of the author, except in the case of brief quotations embodied in critical reviews and certain other non-commercial uses permitted by copyright law. And now, an excerpt from Reckless, Book 1, 50 Shades of Romance. Desire like she'd never felt before blazed through her like wildfire. Catherine clung to him, her fingers digging into the solid muscles of his biceps as she moaned into his mouth. Adam. He nipped her lips, fingers stroking along her spine as his palm pressed her closer against him. She could feel the rigid length of his erection against her hip. Catherine whimpered, heat pooling in her sex. The silk of her panties clung wetly to her as Adam pushed against her. Their heights aligned perfectly. She was pinned against the railing by his hips as he ground his rock-hard shaft into the trembling juncture of her thighs. Catherine rocked back against him, desperate for the friction, trembling and already drenched with arousal. Boyfriend, he growled the word against her throat as his teeth scraped her earlobe. She angled her head as he nibbled the tender skin of her neck, making her shudder. Her breasts were heavy and aching. Catherine's back bowed as she rubbed against him. He kissed her again, groaning when she sucked his tongue into her mouth. No? You? His chuckle was ragged. Oh, boyfriend. No girlfriend either. Or wife. No one who'd be mad at me about what we're going to do. Her stomach flipped at his words. What we're going to do? Maybe she should be mad at his presumption, but she wasn't. She'd wanted to be reckless and spontaneous tonight. She'd wanted to have fun and maybe go home with a guy. While the prospect of Jesse's friend had given her pause, she couldn't say the same about Adam. Her mind may have balked earlier, but now it was all systems go, full steam ahead, right now. His fingers slid into her hair, fisting, tugging her head gently back. His mouth moved from her lips to her cheek, back to her ear, down her throat, across her collarbone, to nip her shoulder, leaving a trail of damp fire in its wake. Catherine curved her hands over his broad shoulders and down his back, nails digging through the fine cotton of his dress shirt before gripping his hips to pull him closer. I don't usually... Her words trailed off into a breathless gasp as Adam's head bent and his tongue dipped into her cleavage. The hand knot tangled in her hair yanked the strap of her dress down her arm, burying her almost to the hard peak of her nipple. I didn't think you did. God, your skin tastes like candy. He grunted the words against her breast, his teeth nipping her tender flesh. Even the tickle of his breath wafting over the sensitive crest made her grit her teeth. His tongue swiped a long path up to her chin, making her gasp.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.